It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. So please open your Bibles and follow along if you can. And please, if not, why just listen very carefully. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us by phone, it's 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you would like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. Hope that you're enjoying the studies that as we look to the Word of God and enjoy it. So please that you now take your Bibles, and hopefully that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare. Romans chapter 7, beginning to read with verse 1. Now know ye not, brethren, for I speak of them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For a woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein ye were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Beautiful scripture readings. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today for giving us this opportunity to read your word and to study it. Such a joy to open your precious word up each day and spend time with you and growing and being closer and closer to you. As we enjoy studying the scripture from cover to cover, whether it be in Genesis or Psalms or here in Romans or Acts or the Gospel of John or Revelation, it's just such a joy to enjoy the your word and your fellowship with us. So please guide and lead us as we are searching your precious word by the leadership of the Holy Spirit that is within every believer. And so please that today we take these words, touch our hearts, win the lost, those who do not know you as Savior, that today would be the day. Don't let some false religion turn them away. I hope that all that are listening today will turn an ear and listen to God's call, and they would be saved, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Father, we know your Son died on the cross for our sin. We're going to cover that today, and just please make it so clear, so simple. Please, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just finished that tremendous verse that explains to us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we need to recognize that salvation is God's gift. It is not by works. When you come by faith, we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is through His power, through His saving grace that brings us this salvation. And we need to realize that salvation and the name of Jesus, Jesus himself, cannot be separated, because Christ in you. And we looked up 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 12. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. And so please try no other way, because there's only one way, and that's by the way of the cross of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus wasn't contained, wasn't kept by that cross. He wasn't even kept by that tomb. He has risen from the dead, and he is at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for every believer. And so please come by faith to him. Be saved because he died on the cross, but be alive because he is at the right hand of the Father right now. We need to watch and be careful, because the devil's ways are always counterfeit. And so that's the reason that so many folks today attend church, believe they're religious, believe everything is fine, but they're not. And what's going to happen, and you may be one of them, that you're going to wake up, you'll be awakened by the fires of hell if you do not come by faith to Jesus. It's very simple. It's not that you have to be a member of this church. It's not that at all. It's not that you have to be baptized. You should be a member of a good Bible-believing church. You should be baptized. All these things you should follow with. However, we need to know, and we need to be affirmed and solid in our knowledge of the day that we got saved, that we trusted in the Lord Jesus. It's not something that you've just grown into and all of a sudden, yeah, I'm saved. I've been in church all my life. I was in church all of my life. But until I met the Lord Jesus and clearly heard the gospel, of which I wasn't told, the gospel was not told when I was young. And I praise God that there was some folks brought me the gospel, explained it to me and showed it to me, and I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I did that almost 40 years ago. It was in 1975. Now, I hope that you don't wait till you're, in your early 20s to get saved. I hope that you get saved before that. I hope that you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ all of your life. Please, look to the Lord Jesus for salvation. Call upon him today. Do not be deceived by the devil and his ways. Don't be caught up that you must be baptized to be saved. Don't be caught up that you have to take the Lord's Supper and communion to get forgiveness of sins. Jesus did all that work on the cross. Don't be caught up in this social activities. Just listen. Listen to the call of God. Trust in Jesus. And that day you'll never forget. And you'll know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you can begin to walk with him. You see, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We are saved by God's grace, and grace is Jesus. Jesus becomes ours by grace, becomes ours by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if we look to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, is some wonderful verses of Scripture that we're going to read here. I hope that you have your Bibles open. I hope that you know the books of your Bible that you can find and enjoy it, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then you'll find Colossians. Not a very big book, kind of hides in there sometimes. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Please, that you recognize, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time today talking about that, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so please, let's remember those words. Do not forget those words as we enjoy the study today, because we will be talking about that. And so, what wonderful verses of Scripture. And now as we begin with the seventh chapter, Romans chapter 7, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. All right, so we're going to enjoy that, and we're going to talk about those things today. You know, we have learned in the previous chapters of Romans that the law cannot produce a holy life. We have looked at those verses of Scripture and realized that it cannot be. And so if you're bound by any kind of law, and you're trying to live up to that law so that you can live a righteous, holy life, you're just putting on an act. You must be born again. You have to have the Holy Spirit to live within your heart in order to have any power or strength to live that holy life. You must be born again. I'm not talking about a belonging to a certain church. I'm talking about your personal relationship with Jesus. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in Him. As we have looked at these chapters in Romans building up to this place, we'll find that back in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and I hope that again you can turn back there with me. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So you see, it shows us who we are and how ugly we are and how filthy we are, and it shows us that we need a Savior because there's no other way. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Again, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where the sin abounded, grace did much more abound. When the law was before them, they could truly see how dirty, how filthy, how ugly we are, how much we've missed the mark. It's very clear. And so that's what the law has done. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans 6, 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What has taken place here? We have learned that by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We have learned that the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, it just brought it out so everyone can see and we know that we're sinners and lost. And we have learned, I hope we have learned, that you're not under the law if you're born again, if you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And you know, we look at this beginning verse here and says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. He was speaking here to those in Rome, and they knew the meaning of the law. They followed the law. And the apostle here is speaking of a law as a civil law. They understood that. They understood what civil law was. I don't believe here he's really speaking about the law that Moses brought down on Sinai. His point that he is going to make in these next few verses is that the civil law has no power over a man, has power over man as long as he lives. But when he dies, he has passed through this position, and he has moved beyond where the law has no justification over him. The law has nothing. Once you have died, that law is no longer binding in any way. It has no control over that man once you have died. And so that's the point here. This to the Romans here, he's speaking to them, you're very familiar with the law. That's what he's saying to them. You're very familiar with the law. So let me tell you and let me explain, and I'm going to ask you a question, and that is that as long as a man lives, the laws, he's bound by those laws. But when he dies, there is nothing. There is nothing. I mean, they could try to pass laws for the dead, but it has no hold. There's no power. There's no jurisdiction there over him after they've died. That's the purpose. That's what we're trying to see here. And when a believer has been identified with Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, he has passed out of the place, the realm, if you'd want to use that word, where the law has power over him. There's no jurisdiction anymore. There is nothing there that can bind the man after he's dead. Okay? So that we have looked at this. Look one more time at verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. Now we have an example here. And so please follow this example very carefully. And it begins with verse 2. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Here we have a married woman bound by the law, permanently bound. There is no means of release. She is bound by the law to her husband. And it's the law of marriage. She is bound. The marriage relationship continues in force between these two, the husband and the wife, as long as they are both alive. As long as they both live. But here the example is given that if the husband be dead, on the death of the husband, the wife is released or loosed, literally, from that law. Why is she loosed? How can she be loosed? It's because the husband died. She has been brought to naught as respect to the law of her husband. Before her husband died, she was truly a wife. But after the husband is dead, she is a wife no longer. She remains a woman, but she has become dead to the law which bound her to a man, being her husband. Her death to the law, which bound her to a husband, brings about her freedom in so much for as the marriage relationship is concerned. Let's read these verses of Scripture. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. So once again, verse 3. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. I think we understand that principle. We understand that example, that whenever the husband dies, she is no longer bound by that law. That law is still there, but because of the death of her husband, she has been freed from that law. So she is not an adulteress. She is free to marry the other man. Now verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. And you see what Paul is doing here in Romans? He's bringing forth, he's bringing out this example of a husband and wife, and what happens when the husband is dead, that binding law is no longer there. That binding law is gone. So wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. It is God's law that a woman should be considered dead in her husband's death. The point reached here is, as a woman died to the marriage law, she didn't die, but with her husband's death, the law has been taken care of. In her death of her husband, by the death of her husband. So, one died in this fourth verse to the whole law, the law of Moses, Sinai, Mosaic law, by the means of the body of Christ on the cross. Do you see the example here? We've been working on for some time the being a part of the death of Christ. We died with Christ on the cross. He took us there. We died in him. And as we become part of his death, that gives us the freedom now to be married to another, which, as the fourth verse says, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who were we married to before? We were married to the flesh. We were married to the flesh. Now, by Jesus dying on the cross, it's just like the husband dying with the example concerning the woman and the wife and her husband. She was no longer a wife when her husband died. She was free to marry another because that law, by the death, that law was taken care of. It no longer was a problem. We have the same thing here. Through the death, there is no longer a problem with our sin because Jesus died on the cross for us. Let's back up just a minute here and let's take a look at the Gentiles, because we've talked about the Jews, and that's kind of much of what Paul is talking to here is to the Jews. But you see, the Gentiles, and we're the Gentiles, we become a part of that. You know, God's way was to remove the barrier of the law by breaking down the middle wall of partition. Christ reconciled both the Jew and the Gentile unto God the Father in one body by the cross. And that's the joy that we have. Jesus died on the cross, and he did that for all, not just for the Jews, but for the Jews and the Gentiles, so that both have access by the Spirit unto the Father. Now, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity therein, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father, afar off and nigh, the Jews and the Gentiles. So we both have access by the Spirit into the Father. We are now joined to the risen Christ. We live unto him. And let's go to 1 Corinthians, because we just continue to build upon this example that we have here and the position that we have in the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but to him which died for them and rose again. What a victory we possess. And when we look at this fourth verse, wherefore my brethren, back in Romans chapter 7, wherefore my brethren, ye also are dead, are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is risen from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That's what that was talking about back here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know we no more him, because he's no longer in the flesh. He is risen. He is at the right hand of the Father right now. But he has accomplished all the work for us. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What victory! When Jesus died on the cross, the believer died with him. Just like that law, when Jesus arose from the dead and walked from the tomb, every born-again believer rose from the dead with him. So every born-again believer should live not to ourselves, but unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not a baby in the manger. Jesus is not today that miracle worker. Jesus is not that one that was nailed on the cross. You see, Jesus, he's not the one that was laid in the tomb. Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a glorified body, as we will have a glorified body. Jesus is all these things. He was the babe in Bethlehem. He was the miracle worker when he walked. He was crucified for us and was buried. But our faith is in the risen Christ, that as the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And we find that back in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. Now, back to the Hebrews 7:25. Back to this example of marriage. We are married to the risen Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Back in our natural state, we were children of wrath, joined or married, if you'd put it that way, to sin and to lust. Our fruit coming through the marriage is only ungodliness and lust. But now, being made free from sin by having become servants to God, we see that in Romans 6, 22, and we'll read that next time, we should bring forth fruit. It's all because of the death of Christ, and we were a part of that, as was the death of a husband, frees the woman from marriage. We too now no longer are married to sin, but we're married to Christ the risen Lord. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?